Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio in for John Marks alongside Ike Reese. We have Jack Fritz behind the glass. You guys with us. 215-592-9494. Off of a gigantic win last night for the Sixers. Ike, how we doing?
Joe G, holler at you, boy.
Big win last night, Ike.
Yeah, man. Hey, listen. 1-1. Whew. Had to sweat that thing out for about three quarters there.
Too much sweat for me.
Yeah.
It was not easy.
But thanks to Shake. Shake rattle and roll.
The Shake Milton game last night?
Yeah, he brought us home last night, man. He brought us home. Listen, big fella was outstanding. I can't wait to get into his night. But in all seriousness, just a much-needed win. Couldn't afford to lose that game last
night. Must win, Ike, as we said.
They got it. They got the W, and they head to Atlanta with the series tied at 1. And we'll see where the momentum sort of lies. I know the Sixers won last night. I don't know if Atlanta feels all that downtrodden after leaving Philly. They got the split, which is what they wanted. So, if you're Atlanta, right, you feel good going back home with one win in hand already.
I'm sure they do.
Look, so, they have to feel good.
That was not easy last night. You mentioned Shake Milton. He was incredible late in that game. I mean, he couldn't miss. I mean, he carried them for a good portion there heading into the fourth quarter. 14 points for Shake Milton last night. Ike mentioned Joel Embiid. I mean, this is becoming routine now. We're watching one of the great big men ever, and he's right here. He's Philadelphia's own. He's Joel Embiid. He's that great. I mean, that Joel Embiid last night on a torn meniscus, 40 points, and it's like this is not even a big deal anymore. Joel Embiid is amazing, and it's amazing that we get to watch him in his prime right now because he's gone to a different level. Like Joel is at a different level where, you know, 2 or 3 years ago we saw this. There were these glimpses of.
We see flashes of.
Yes, and he would have a 30-point game here and there, but then he'd also have 18 once in a while or 20 once in a while. I mean, now it's routine: 30, 35, 40 points, and on a torn meniscus. So, that game was tight, but Joel's carrying them through so many stretches of these games. 2 days ago, you know, 4 days ago, whatever it was, we didn't even know if he was going to play in this series. And now
I didn't even want him to play in this series.
You were saying sit him out.
Yes, and how stupid would that have been?
They'd be down 2-0 and getting blown out without Joel Embiid. But Ike, here's where I'm at right now.
That's a good point.
After watching these first two games. I said before the series I thought they would win. I didn't think this would be easy. I thought they would win this series. I feel the same. Like, I was hoping last night to have an easy win, right? We were at callers saying, yes, they're going to blow them out, win by 20 points. And they did win by 16. It wasn't like it was a one-point game.
It didn't feel like a 16-point win.
It didn't. And the way I feel today is I still believe the Sixers are going to find a way to get through this series. But my confidence level in this team and their ability to beat the Hawks, it's not suddenly rising. Like, that game yesterday, let's not forget what these first two games have been. The first two games for 6 of the 8 quarters have been very, very tight, if not Atlanta in the advantage. Mm-hmm. And then for two quarters, both fourth quarters in this series, the Sixers have been the better team. They were the better team in the first game in the fourth quarter, and they tried to come back. They ultimately couldn't. They were the better team last night and really kind of pulled away in the fourth quarter with Shake. But for 6 of the 8 quarters, this has been dead even, or it has been Atlanta in the lead. So the way I look at it is like, man, they were at home. Joel Embiid put up 40 points, 39 points, and yet this is still really tight. Ike, my confidence level has not grown after last night. I'm happy. That was a great Joel game, the Shake game, we'll call it. Ben, who we'll get to, played really good defense on Trae Young and helps, you know, kind of slow him down. But Ike, my confidence level in the Sixers didn't jump last night after the win. They got the win. They're 1-1. Great. But I still feel the same, that this is hard. This is harder than I want it to be.
Yeah, and I agree with some of what you're saying there. But here's where I disagree with you at. My confidence level has grown, and here's why. Now, it's rare that I'm wrong. You ought to notice, being on the opposite side of taking me all the time. It's rare that I'm wrong. But Joel Embiid, the way that he's played in these first two games, after watching him last night, not only did I become supremely confident that they're going to wrap this up in six like I predicted beforehand. Atlanta will get one at home. They'll get one at home. I expect them to get one at home. Now, I wouldn't be surprised if the Sixers go down there and win both, but I expect them to get one at home. And I come back to Philadelphia with this thing tied at two, and then the Sixers. And I say the Phillies the first time. The Sixers.
Oh, we'll get to them later.
Yeah, the Sixers will win games five and game six and close out this series in Atlanta, grab a sack of lemon pepper wings on the way back up here to Philly and get ready to take on Brooklyn in the Eastern Conference Finals, which, and I'll get ahead of myself only in explaining why I feel as good as I feel. I think we got something for the Nets. If Embiid's going to play like this, injured, and give you 40, and keep you in games like this, and then the Sixers with their defense, they got a legitimate chance of winning the NBA championship. That's what I saw last night. That's what I saw when watching Joel Embiid, because when you watch a player perform at the level in which he's performing under those conditions, how can you not think about the unthinkable, which is they really can win the NBA championship. They really can, because you know why? We finally have that guy. We have the guy that everybody else wishes they had, or most teams wish they had, and he's performing like that. We, like you said, we've seen flashes in the past, right? We've seen it, and we're like, oh, man, if you only can stay healthy and do this on a night-to-night basis. Well, some of that is still true, but I'm just telling you, through the playoffs, and his mindset and how he spoke after game one and talking about laying his body on the line, and I didn't know what he was going to look like after only a day's rest. It's one thing to have 8 days off and go put up 39. That's right. Almost expected. He had enough rest before game one. But to have only 1 day off in between games one and two and come back and give you 35 minutes after playing 38 minutes Sunday and put up that type of performance – whoo, boy, we got something, man. We got something special. And this ain't special like AI in 2001 special. This is legit special. And that's not to say AI wasn't a special individual player. That team wasn't a legit title contending team. AI carried them there. This has title contention attached to him. This team does. They
well,
do.
Well, here
they have it. They have it.
Joel has something right now that is it's
ooh,
rare.
I mean, man.
This is rare when you watch this. I mean, you can right now put Joel Embiid up with, first of all, any Sixers ever played in this city, but also any big man that's ever played the game. Like that's the level of player we're talking about. And Ike, watching the last two games, the first game we talked about is his defense. He was maybe a little rusty, couldn't move as well. But on offense for two games, if you had told me he's perfectly healthy, I'd believe you.
Like, yes,
you don't
that's
even realize.
That's what I'm saying, Joe. Like, are they sure he tore his meniscus?
Did they still look at the wrong MRI? Because he's dropping 40 like it's nothing. Baseline jumpers, going to the basket. There was the one play where he just shoved Clint Capella. And Clint Capella is not a small man.
Loved it.
Like, he made it look like just like if you push me out of the way. I'm pretty small. Clint Capella is not a tiny guy. And he pushed him out of the way. So Joel Embiid is playing at an incredible level right now, and it should give us all confidence that he can get through this, hopefully healthy enough to play. 215-592-9494. But like on that, right, on Joel, and he did dominate. Mm-hmm. And it's great. And everything you said is true, and it does make you feel like this could be special,
man,
because of him. I keep coming back to this, though. We're getting the best out of Joel Embiid. The best. I mean, this is as good as
ever played. I don't know if he can play any better, yeah.
And yet, through three quarters, this thing is even. Like, this is not easy against the Hawks. I don't want to use the word worry. I used worry the other day. I do believe they're going to win the series. But I'd be lying if I said I turned the TV off last night and I said, they got this. It's over. The Hawks are buried. They can't come back. They're afraid of the Sixers. They're not backing down. Like, that part of this, like, they're looking at the Sixers in the eye and they're going shot for shot. Their shooters are pretty good. They could shoot. And Trae Young didn't even do much last night compared to game one. and they were in this thing. I feel the same as I did. Last night, despite a win, it didn't move my confidence. 215-592-9494. So Joel was great. Sixers win. The shake game. And then, of course, man. Ike, there's the Ben Simmons aspect of last night. And let me just hit this. Ben deserves credit for his defense last night because they moved him on to Trae Young more. And when he was on Trae Young, he did a really good job. And Trae Young was, if not stopped, he was definitely slowed down.
Mm-hmm.
But it's amazing that Ben last night, like they won last night. It was almost like Ben wasn't playing on offense.
Well, he wasn't.
I mean, he had 4 points on 3 shots.
Yeah.
That was his game last night. It's amazing how this team could play and win, even though he didn't do anything offensively last night. Anything.
Yeah, and listen, this is the way they have constructed the team so that they don't have to rely on his scoring as much. That's finally starting to sort of sink in, and we're just going to have to accept that. Like, that's the way they've constructed the team to where his scoring isn't a priority. It's a welcome addition when it happens, but it's not a priority for them. It just isn't. That's why they put all the other scorers on the team, the shooters. And what it does is it puts the pressure on guys like Maxey and last night, Shake. It puts pressure on those guys to have to come in and give you something offensively.
Yeah, they got 35 points from Curry and Shake last night.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
And by the way, Curry has been fantastic through the first two games. Even the last game against the Wizards, I like what Steph Curry has given us, even been able to get his own shot at times. But you brought up Maxey. Let me throw out Tobias, because the game got off to a good start for the Sixers, and it was primarily Tobias Harris doing the scoring in the first quarter. I think he scored, what, 16, 14 in the first quarter?
Yeah, he finished with 22, but most of those were really early when they got off to the big lead.
So when you look at the team, they seem to be taking turns as to who's getting hot and who's – and then growing and going with it, right? Going with that hot hand. Seth Curry did it in the game the other day. He had his moments last night. Tobias was the early guy. Embiid was all the way through. And then you throw in what Shake was able to do, and that's where the game really turned.
Mm-hmm.
The game turned on that three-pointer at the end of the third quarter.
Well, the Hawks were coming. I mean, the Hawks were – I would say the Hawks were – like, if you felt the momentum, like, just they were stealing.
Yeah, they wouldn't go away.
No.
They wouldn't go away, and you're saying to yourself, okay, we're going to get in the fourth quarter. This thing is going to be close, and you know what we're headed to.
Yeah, we're watching Red Velvet over there.
Yeah.
Herder hitting shot after shot, and Gallinari. Like, these guys are going to beat the Sixers?
And late in the game, we'd have been looking at Hackabin.
Well.
That's what we would have been looking at.
And we're discussing that today if they lost.
And shout out to Doc. Well, Doc, listen, whether he wants to admit it or not.
Well, he doesn't want to admit it.
He certainly has learned or adjusted from game five.
He took Ben out.
Wizards. Yeah,
he took Ben out.
And which was all we were suggesting or even inquiring as to whether or not would he at least think about doing that. And he thought about it and he felt, well, that's the time we'll get him out of there and then we'll bring he and Matisse back in under the 2-minute mark.
And it was the right call.
Of course it was. It definitely was the right call.
Doc, it's not that hard. Just listen to WIP. We'll steer you in the right direction. All right, 215-592-9494. That is how you hop in. Sixers win last night. They even the series here. Has your confidence level grown in the Sixers after last night, or is it staying the same? Mine's the same. Ike's feeling
– man.
I came in here with a little pep in his step today.
You think it's a sort of knee-jerk reaction I'm having right now?
No, you came in feeling good.
I did, man. Big fella, man.
And I feel good, too. I feel the same as I did the other day.
This thing is growing, John.
Whew. It's not easy. This thing's not easy. 215-592-9494. Your confidence level in the Sixers after the game to win, is it growing or staying the same? Aaron in Mount Airy. What's up, Aaron?
What's up, Joseph? What's up, Ike?
What's up, man?
Last week I called ESP the number one cartoon hair. No, Gilio, you are the number one cartoon hair, but that's beside the point. So listen to this.
What am I, the number one what?
Carson hater, you heard him.
Oh, no, I'm not just – listen, I'm just a Philadelphia's truth teller, that's all.
Well, look, this is what's funny to me, right? Before the playoffs started, and Ike was one of the guys saying, no competition, we're going to cakewalk through the East. Now we got competition. I feel what I could say, but now Joe Gilio's worried that we got a little competition. I'm confused. Because everyone was crying that we won't have no competition before we got to Eastern Conference Finals. Now the Hawks are actually showing some heart because they're not a bad team. Okay, a lot of people don't know the players in that team because who watches the Hawks? That doesn't mean they can't shoot the basketball. So
yeah, you know what it was, though, A? it's hard to respect a team that the best player is 5'11", 6 feet.
And
he's balding. Hold on. He's balding. He's losing his hair. I'm a bald guy myself, so I can say it. He's losing his hair. Only he's losing his about 25 years earlier than I lost mine. And then the rest of the players on that squad, we know who they are because we follow basketball, but who are they?
No, in the grand scheme of things, no one. That's why I said when the playoffs started, I said we're going to beat them in 5 games. I actually wanted to sweep them. But we're going to beat because I don't like all that trash talking Trae Young, dude, but it's good for him. But I ain't want him up in here saying, all right, I'll see y'all in the A. Get your little ass out here. But listen, we're going to beat them in 5. We're going to go down to Atlanta. We're going to beat them in 2 games. We're going to come up here and we're going to beat them in the 5th game.
Okay.
It's a wrap.
Okay. We're not,
it's a wrap?
It's a wrap. It's
6 of the 8 quarters, this thing's been tied or the Hawks are leading. What rap?
Only because our bench unit has been stinking it up because Doc Rivers refuses to keep at least 2 stars in with the bench unit. And Shake Milton came through last night. Maybe he got some confidence and the bench unit is going to step it up. Hopefully we'll see that going forward.
Well, Aaron, I hope so. But here's the reality. Usually in the NBA playoffs, benches don't play better on the road. They play better at home. That's just the way it is. So yep. I hope you're right. I hope they go down to Atlanta and they play great. But the odds are it's going to be tougher down in Atlanta.
You know what's going to happen? If B's going to go down there, he's going to punk Clint Capela. He's going to punk anybody who gets on him. And Simmons going to put the clamps on Trae Young again, and the bench is going to step up because they're going to be inspired with what they see from their 2 best players.
What about our boy Tobias? Tobias, Team Toby.
Oh, he got to get in where he fit in.
I don't care.
That's our second leading scorer.
I know. It is.
You don't care.
All right, Aaron, your confidence growing or is it the same?
It's always been the same.
All right.
Sixers and five.
Aaron's not worried at all about all this. Jack, he was confident before.
Yeah. Jack, don't disrespect Team Toby.
No, it's just like, you know, it's just so disheartening.
We're an all-star.
No, we're not.
Kind of, maybe.
It's just so disheartening he's our second best scorer. I mean, he's fine.
He went Mamba mode last night in the first half.
Yeah,
you think that's happened. Part of why the Ben stuff is always there? Like, it's not so much Ben. We don't want Tobias to be the second best player. It's supposed to be Ben.
Right. I make fun of the Bucks, right, because Chris Milton has no shot being the second best player in a championship team.
Right.
Neither does Tobias Harris. So, that's the predicament.
We got to squint our way through it.
Yes.
And accept what it is. 215-592-9494. Brian's in Middletown. What's up, Brian?
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up, Brian?
Hey, man. I'm feeling good. And I'll tell you the key play that really did it for me. You saw the block shot that Simmons did on Trae Young when he was attempting that?
Mm-hmm.
That type of play can really have an impact for the entire game because it gets into a player's head. As you said, he's a small guy and your best player is little. Well, now he knows he has to change the arc of his shot, whatever Ben is in front of him. And that kind of thing, you may not see that in the box score. You'll see the block shot.
Right.
You don't see how that impacts, Trae Young's decision-making, where as he would normally take a launcher shot, he's thinking twice about it. They have to pass the ball a little bit more. Because I think there was an actual shot clock violation that they had.
It was.
So, look, we all recognize the flaws of Ben Simmons, but he has a unique skill set. And as you noted, Ike, it works with this team because you've surrounded this team with shooters and scorers. And, of course, you have Embiid, who's an absolute beast. I mean, I would say this to all Sixers fans. Let's enjoy what we're seeing because Embiid is special.
Yes.
I mean, at his size, with his agility, his basketball IQ, I mean, it's just fun to watch.
And the touch, the feathery touch around the basket.
It's remarkable.
I mean, he has a mid-range game. I mean, he's pulling up at the elbow. He's shooting off the glass. I mean, his touch around the basket to where he doesn't have to always necessarily dunk the ball or shoot a three-pointer. Man, it just makes him so much more difficult to defend.
For sure. Yeah. And here's the thing, Brian, we appreciate – I always feel good.
And Embiid may not have missed 4 free throws in 1 game all year long.
You know what? If he did, it was once.
Yeah, exactly.
And he must have shot 20 in that game. If he did. It's amazing. With Joel, whatever shot he puts up, I feel good about it.
Yeah, you feel like it's going in.
Yeah, I feel like – well, at least it's a good shot, and most of the time it's going to
– Even his three-pointers. I used to hate every time he shot a 3.
And he doesn't shoot as many now.
Right. He'll shoot his 2 or 3 a game, and you feel good about him.
Yep.
I mean, this is – I think this is the highest level we've seen an athlete here in Philadelphia since Roy Halladay, right? Carson had a special 2017.
Oh, yeah, but.
But this is better.
Yeah,
I think it's Roy Halladay. Yeah. Back when Doc was like whenever Doc pitched, you know, those couple years, it was like you knew you were watching something special. And now you feel like you're watching something truly special, like a big man that scores 40. This is rare.
And the thing that I would certainly give him be the nod over Carson. They both had tremendous regular seasons. Carson didn't play in the postseason.
Right.
Embiid's in the postseason doing it.
And hurt.
Yeah, and hurt.
Obviously, so, Carson couldn't – I mean, he just physically couldn't play. But this is amazing.
He's in the postseason. It's unbelievable.
He's doing it at a different level.
It's unbelievable.
And the Sixers, well, they got a win last night. They desperately needed it. 215-592-9494. Did your confidence grow in the Sixers last night to win this series? Or is it still the same? Mine's the same. This thing's not easy. And it wasn't easy for three quarters last night. Ike's is growing here. I came
back
in today.
Back-to-back career high. 39 and then 40.
How many games in a row can we do this?
Yeah, can we do it? We can do it. Hey, man.
41
listen.
On Friday?
Boy, yeah, these numbers aren't that hard to reach. 41. I mean, look at me. These numbers aren't that hard to reach. I'm just saying.
As if this is happening every day.
Yes, I'm just saying. His game and as many shots as he gets, as much as he touches the ball and goes to the free throw line, yeah, he can get 41, 42, 43, yeah, with no problem.
Yeah, and Clint Capella's not any resistance. He's just pushing him out of the way. All right, 215-592-9494. A ton to get into here on Mark Cerise. Joe Giglio in for John Marks. On the other side, we'll get to all your calls on the Sixers level here. Has your confidence grown after last night or stayed the same? Is Embiid the most talented Sixer ever? And we'll get to what Kenny Smith had to say after the game. Who does he think has the advantage in the series moving forward? You'll hear that next right here on Mark Cerise, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
I'm still not sure the Sixers have the advantage or the Hawks have the advantage, because when they go on spurts where the other team cannot stop them, both teams, there hasn't been a game yet in the game one or two where there's a consistent flow where both teams are playing well.
The voice of Kenny Smith, NBA and TNT. Welcome back. Mark Cerise, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio in for John Marks. Kenny Smith there. He didn't really have a take. He's going back and forth. He's not sure he's got the advantage. What stood out to me, Ike, about that is that it's interesting because we all assume the Sixers are better and have the advantage. But through two games, I mean, he's not wrong that these games have been just weird. Like,
right.
You know, one team's blowing the other team out and they come back. There is a strange flow to, you think a game is in control and then it's not. Two games in a row.
No, I agree. I agree. And it really boils down to, you going back to what you generally thought prior to the series starting, and if you had confidence. See, originally my confidence was shaken based on Joel Embiid.
Yeah, the injury.
And yeah, that's not knowing the extent of that injury and what he would look like trying to play on it.
And no one thought he'd be this good.
I mean, yeah.
No one listening to us right now thought he'd be this good with a torn meniscus.
Yeah, so once I see that, now I'm back to, okay, I thought this was going to be a six-game series. I got respect for the Atlanta Hawks. I just look at it like they caught the Sixers in the first game, right? Sixers came out a little flat, so they took advantage. They split. They'll go down to Atlanta, probably split, and then the Sixers will take the momentum and carry the series out and win it in six. And it'll be a good test for the Sixers. They were down in this series. They had to face a little bit of adversity. It toughens them up a little bit. I didn't get anything out of that Washington series.
Except the Doc Ben stuff. That was
exactly.
Free throw shooting. Yeah.
Yes. And I'll repeat again. Kudos to Doc for adjusting and understanding where we were coming from, where they took our advice or took one of his assistant coaches' advice. And when they told him, coach, you know what? It might not be a bad idea if we take him out until the 2-minute mark
We found out Doc listens to WIP. We know that now.
Yeah.
Celebrate him. Celebrate all the stuff he does well.
That's all we were trying to do, was help you out, coach. Not Ben. It was just trying to help you.
Well, we saw him with a 3-1 lead, and we didn't want to, you know, it could get dicey.
Exactly. Yeah. That's all we were trying to do, coach.
Tread lightly, Jack. Doc's listening. Doc's listening.
We just wanted to help you. That's all. So anyway, but they were able to do that. And I look at the series and I say, Atlanta's not going to go away quietly, but that's okay. I don't mind having a little bit of a test. Because part of winning a championship, especially when the majority of this roster hasn't been deep into the playoffs, and the two players that have been deep into the playoffs, one was the focal point over a decade ago.
Yeah, that Dwight Howard is long gone.
Yeah, that Dwight Howard is long gone. And Danny Green has always been a role player, meaning he doesn't know the pressure of a star player to carry a team. So these guys have to go through this stuff, get through the scar, get through this, and then, you know what, when you take on the Nets, you know you're in for a battle.
Oh, yeah, a serious one. There's no question.
And you won't fold. Right? Like, you're going to be willing to stand there and fight through that battle.
Little battle test is not bad.
And guess what happens when you hit the bully in the mouth? Sometimes the bully don't know how to respond.
Well, you find out quick, too.
Yeah. So this is why I like what I'm seeing, but it has so much to do with our best player looking as if he doesn't have any ill effects from that knee injury.
Yeah,
he doesn't seem like he's been compromised very much. He looked better defensively last night than he did the first game.
He did. He moved better.
Yes. So the confidence is rising as I'm watching Joel Embiid look like the MVP we've watched all year long.
My confidence has stayed the same. This is going to be a difficult one. I think the Sixers win, but it's going to be a difficult series. Our Twitter poll question: did your confidence level in the Sixers winning this series grow last night, or did it stay the same? Sponsored by Mark's Jewelers, looking for that perfect graduation present, or maybe you want to get a jump on Father's Day. Mark's Jewelers in Montgomeryville has dads and grads covered. Shop online at marks-jewelers.com. 61% saw their confidence grow last night. 39% stayed the same. Let's talk to Mike, who is in Norristown. What's up, Mike? Mike, what's up, buddy?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How you doing?
What's up, Mike?
Good, Mike. What's on your mind?
My confidence has not grown, man. It has not grown at all. They took a big lead early, and they came back on us. They're draining threes. And I hate to get on Ben Simmons. He played great defense against Trae Young, but come on, 4 points? We need more from him, man.
Yeah, he's invisible at times on offense. It's like he's not there. And I'm glad you said it, because we all recognize the defense he plays and what he brings a lot to the table, but. Mm-hmm. I said it a few minutes ago, Mike. Because of the way Ben plays, it does put pressure. They need a shake to score points. They need Curry to have big games. And that's hard to count on because those guys are role players. They're not stars.
And it makes you mad. Like, you seen him in the fourth quarter when Shake came in and gave him the momentum. Like, he went hard to the rim. Why can't he do that the whole game? That's why I call him the 10-man. Come hard to the rim every time. You can't shoot, dunk it. Come with authority. He don't believe in himself, man. It's annoying.
Well, you know what? Well, my thing on that is he can do it more often. He doesn't want to go to the free throw line, though. And if you keep going to the basket, eventually they're gonna knock you down, and you're gonna have to go to the free throw line and knock down your shots. And he doesn't want to do that. So, Mike, your confidence is the same, huh?
It's the same. I mean, how can it go up? I mean, Embiid dropped 40, 39, and they barely won both of them games. And one of our bench role players don't step up, we could lose. Like, it's not a given, man. Like, I would not be surprised if we lost. Like, they need to step. Like, Ben needs to get more points. Like, you can't rely on Tobias Harris every game or Curry to drop 50.
Sure you can. Sure you can rely on Tobias Harris
Mike,
every
we
game.
Appreciate
why,
it.
Why can't you? Tobias Harris might have been the most reliable player on this team all year long. What
well,
do you
I mean?
Mean,
he's good, but he's not an all-star.
But you know what you're getting out of him, which means you can rely on his 20 points a night. You know you're getting 20 out of Tobias.
You can. It feels like every night, it's almost like they walk a tightrope, but they have to get something from somebody else. Like,
yes.
Joel has to play superstar, like not just star, superstar every night, or you need a shake to come off the bench and get to, like, night you need to invent a different way to get 15 extra points somewhere because your number two player has nights where he scores 4 points.
Now, listen, you're right. No, that part, there is no arguing against that. I'm just of the mind that I'm not expecting that much anymore. I'm just not, from an offensive standpoint. I'm not expecting it. And when they lose and he has one of these types of games, he's going to catch the heat. It's games like last night when you get performances by Shake Milton, by Seth Curry, where Ben Simmons can have that type of offensive performance and no one will say anything.
Yeah, he could blend in the background.
Yes, but just for those defenders out there, just understand, a lot of this is predicated on whether or not they win or lose as to whether or not Ben's effectiveness on the offensive end is being accounted for. When they win, we'll say he played great defense, leave him down there.
Yep.
when they lose and he has 4 points and 7 assists and 3 rebounds.
And has to come off the court because of free throw shooting?
Yeah, people are going to talk about it. Nobody's going to care about his defense. So just understand, when they win, it's okay. If they lose, it's going to be a focal point.
There's no question. 215-592-9494 is your, or did your confidence level in the Sixers grow after last night?
Angel. Shake last night, man.
Unbelievable.
Shake.
Shake out of nowhere. Angel and Fox Chase. What's up, Angel?
Hey, guys. Thank you for taking my call, my big-time listener. My confidence level is high with the Sixers, okay? Mm-hmm. At this point, you know, we got to deal with what Ben is, what he is, all right?
Yep.
He's a defensive player, and his mindset is to shut down the opponent's score. So we surround them with shooters and good substitute players. We got Joel Embiid. You know,
no.
It's like you said, if we would have lost, then we would have heard all the complaints about Ben.
Yep.
But a win is a win, like football. It should be the same thing like in basketball.
Yeah, right? Angel, yes, but when you're the number one seed, taking on the five seed with Red Velvet out there shooting, like, it's not just a win is a win. They're supposed to win this series.
I know. So out of the first two games, they almost won the first game coming back.
Well, that didn't really count,
They shut them down when they almost took over. So they showed as a championship caliber team that they could sustain that. So
how many games does this series go?
This is going, I'm hoping, 5.
We're all right? hoping that, yeah.
Right.
Sixers are hoping
because,
that.
Because
that's a great idea.
The momentum of the first game. They withstand the second game, their flurry. So their confidence is really high. And another thing I want to say is we got to play a little bit like bully ball, like Embiid, all right? You know, back in the day, if AI used to go in the line, they used to try to, you know, kill him, decapitate him, you know.
Decapitate him, yeah.
Let Trey know, if you're coming in here, you're going to pay the price. So I liked it that Embiid, you know, played a bully ball yesterday with the Hawks, and we need to have a physical game. And I think they set the tone yesterday with that, and my confidence is high. We got this in 5.
Angel, appreciate the phone call. He mentioned the bully ball thing, and I think he was referencing the Embiid when him and Gallinari had a little shoving match.
Oh, how about that?
Look, I love when that kind of stuff happens in the playoffs, and it's physical and emotions are flying. Embiid has to be smart. Like, he's too important. And I know Gallinari started it, right? They went to the replay and they saw it. He kind of gave him the shove with his shoulder. And then Embiid kind of gave him a little shove back. It turned out to be not that big of a deal. It was just double technicals and everyone moved on.
Yeah.
He has to be smart. Like, the Hawks will take that trade any day. I know Gallinari actually scored 20 points last night. But that's a trade the Hawks – like, if every game Joel wants a shoving match with Gallinari, the Hawks are going to be happy about that because – he's indispensable to the Sixers.
I agree. And okay, this is just me nitpicking, right? Big fella, I would have much preferred for you to just point your finger and give one of those threats. Matter of fact, you could have just told Gallinari you were going to slap the you-know-what out of him like you told Shake.
Just stand over him.
Yeah. But the push while Gallinari is walking away in the back, Yeah.
Let's just be careful here, Joel.
That was kind of, you know,
You're 7-2.
Yes.
I mean, if you're going to fight.
Yes. Jack understands the point I'm making.
Well,
right
no,
there.
No, no,
somebody
fighting.
Somebody
who's
never been in a fight, he understands the
not
point.
Not a fighting
that I'm
guy. Not but a he, fighting guy.
But that's the point that I'm making. Like, to push him in the back while he's walking away, like, that's what's the point of doing
like,
that?
It's like, wah.
Jack, have you ever been in one fight ever?
No, like, here's
even
the thing.
Even when you were a kid, like, I mean, we're adults now. No one's getting in fights now.
No, I've never been in a fight because, like, all right, I've always been bigger. People assume I'm tough. I'm not. So,
well, not everyone assumes that.
Well, you do. No, every time you walk in, you get a little, like,
No.
Well, have you been in a fight?
When I was a kid.
Back when you were a little fatter?
Yeah, I mean, I was a little heavy set. Yeah.
You're a chunker.
Not as an adult, but like, yeah, I thought every dumb boy when they're a kid gets in a fight. Isn't that the way it works?
No, nah, I would just walk away. Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah.
Listen, Joel.
I don't think I've ever walked away from a fight.
Well, I would never. I'm not confrontational, so if it would even start heating up a little bit, I'd be like, nah, I'm good. I don't know.
Jack's out.
Jackson. Whoa. So are you telling me I should not go out with you anywhere past 9 o'clock?
Well, we did that in Clearwater. We were fine. We could have fought Paul O'Neill.
I would. Paul O'Neill? You're fighting Paul O'Neill? That guy's
huge. He dissed Ike.
What do you mean? What happened? Paul O'Neill dissed you?
Yeah, he's
Cincinnati guys.
It was you he dissed. It wasn't me.
Cincinnati guys can't diss Cincinnati guys.
We did the whole, aren't you Paul O'Neill?
Yeah.
And he was like, no.
He lied?
Yes.
And you're definitely Paul O'Neill.
It must be a Yankee thing. We got to play with Garrett Cole said yes. They're all liars. 215-592-9494. Devin in Woodbury Heights. What's up, Devin?
Yo, what's going on, fam? You guys all right?
We're good, Devin. What's we got to win. Devin? Yeah, we're good.
Is it Devin or Devon? You sound like a
it's
Devin.
It's Devin. Saying Devon. Like, I'm like, eh, I love you guys. So I'm going to just
brothers,
let
we go with Devon. And you know, yeah.
Listen, if we're wrong, you got to tell us. Everyone tells me when I'm wrong. So just if I say your name wrong, tell me.
Nah, that's fine. But, I love the win. I love how Doc Rivers made adjustments. I'm glad that Shake actually stepped up. But I'm not going to get overhyped about it because he really has been MIA for the past 3 months. And, like, I know one game it's really stepped up and he really made important shots. So, you know, but, like, let's hopefully he gets his minutes back Friday night. He does the same thing, you know, because I don't want this up and down on consistency stuff because that's how you mess up the rotations, and then that's how bigger problems come in.
But here's the thing, though, Devin. Doc has to play the hot hand. So he'll give a guy a shot, and if he goes out there, he doesn't have 2, 3, 4 minutes to waste with bench players. Either you're ready to go when he calls your number and you go out there and you add something, or you don't and you don't get a chance to play. I mean, Maxey.
Yeah.
How many minutes did Maxey play last night? 5.
Yeah. Because he wasn't doing it.
He wasn't ready to go. When they shot 2 balls, one of them was ill-advised. And Doc's like, you know what? Yeah,
we're done here
tonight. Get back over here.
Yeah. And the other thing is, like everybody, like the Ben Simmons thing, like the 4 points, that's not going to – he better not have that against the Nets because he ain't going to stop KD like that. He ain't going to shut down KD like he do Trey because he gonna have to put up some points.
Yeah, there's a level, like, we're not expecting 30, but 4 is also not acceptable. We got to find a middle ground here, Devin.
No, yeah, I personally want 16, 9, and 8 every night, and he's perfectly eligible to do that.
Yeah, he is. Well, what's his season average? About 15 or 16 points, right? Like, that's just what he's supposed to do.
Next question.
Yeah.
All right, Devin, we appreciate it. So Devin stayed the same here. 215-592-9494. Confidence level in the Sixers, the same or growing. Ike's is growing, mine is staying the same. And look, the Embiid stuff, you know, how he played last night, it's all part of this. Like the fact that he's on it's funny, it's a double-edged sword with Embiid with the way this series is going. Like, it's amazing that he's out there and doing what he's doing. Like you said before, he's playing like a guy that you can envision being the best player on a championship team, which that's a big thing to say because not many guys are actually
not
that
many
level.
Guys like that in the NBA.
No, we think there's more than there actually are, but there's very few that actually have that level. But the opposite side is he's playing like this, and these games are tight. Like, they lost game one last night until Shake Milton comes in. They're basically tied or down to the Hawks towards the end of the third quarter, and that gives me some pause here. But there's no question about this. Joel Embiid's level right now that he's playing at, this is as great as any Sixers ever played basketball. Like, his talent level at his size, his shooting ability. I mean, this is, like, I am ready to say he's the most talented Sixer I have ever seen. He is more talented than Allen Iverson was. Like, Allen Iverson could not do this stuff on both ends of the court. I mean, this is a level that I think a lot of people listen to us, Ike, right now, depending on how old you are, have never seen a Sixer play like this. It's amazing.
I agree. And obviously not being raised here and watching the Sixers in the 70s and the 80s, or what have you, but really knowing about the Sixers since early 80s when Dr. J and they won the title and all in the Charles and Moses and Mo Cheeks and Andrew Toney.
And they've been some great players.
All the way through, all the way up, you know. And I remember the trying to think of the who would they bring in to replace Charles. It was the I can't think of the forward's name.
before, so we're talking about the teams before AI, right? Early 90s?
Yes. There was a forward that the Sixers drafted. It's supposed to be like a Charles Barkley. Wasn't that the Sixers drafting? Clarence Witherspoon? Was it
Spoon?
Yeah. Didn't the Sixers draft Witherspoon?
Spoon jumped around. They may have drafted him.
I think they drafted him, yeah. But I remember those early 90s after Charles had got traded until Sean Bradley.
Yeah, he was drafted in 92, right?
Spoon, right? Yeah, Spoon, yeah. Yeah, that's what I thought. So you think about the players that have played here, you know, after Charles left, then we had AI. And that was short-lived, and that always seemed more like an overachiever. Even though Allen was a great player and was perceived as the number one player in the draft, when you're only 6 feet and 170 pounds and you're the best player on the team without a ton of talent around you, any high-level success achieved will be viewed as overachieving. Like, that's what that Sixers team did.
Yep.
That was an overachieving team. And AI, we know, was arguably pound for pound the best small guy to ever play the game. But Joel Embiid, you watch him play, and you're watching a big man play in a perimeter player's era. They're trying to make the big man, at least from an offensive standpoint, and having the offense run through him, extinct. Because they don't even want you shooting two-pointers unless they're dunks. Right? So most big men in this league are usually face the basket, three-point shooting big guys that don't have a low post game.
They have to be now.
Yes. Joel Embiid has it all. Inside, outside, back to the basket, face the basket, mid-range, touch off the glass, can shoot free throws. You don't have to take him out the game late. You don't have to avoid giving him the ball like you did with Shaq late. Even Tim Duncan wasn't a very good free throw shooter, only shot barely 70% from the free throw line as a big man. This dude is shooting 86% from the free throw line. This dude. I'm going to tell you, the next thing Embiid needs to add to his game. Doesn't need to add to his game, but you can just tell him when he does, it's just going to take his game to a whole nother level, is when he fully understands where those double teams are coming from and where the open guy is going to be at, and you have knockdown shooters there, he could easily average 5 assists a game.
And he's gotten better. He's gotten better.
Yes.
2 years ago, it was almost a turnover machine.
Yeah, it was a turnover machine. And now he's starting to understand the game better. Oh, by the way, he didn't start playing until he was, what, 16?
Yeah, and he's a great defensive player on top of it. It's incredible.
It's unbelievable,
He's
man.
The most talented Sixer I've ever seen. Obviously, you know,
I didn't see Wilt play.
No, but you know what? Come on. Like, I mean, we know how Jack feels on this. Wilt didn't play against the players at the capability that Joel is. The athletes of today are just better. And Joel, I'm willing to say he's the most talented Sixer ever. Certainly the most talented Sixer I've ever seen. 215-592-9494.
Oh, man, you going with the better than Wilt thing, too?
More talented.
Oh, wow.
Come on.
I can't go down that road.
He's more talented.
I can't. Well, I mean, one guy averaged 50 and 24.
Yeah, he's playing against guys that look like me. That's a bit, that changes the game. Will in Olney's up.
Also going to beat Bill Russell, but
yeah, that's true too. What's up, Will?
Hey, what's going on, y'all?
What's up, Will?
Hey, I was just calling to say my confidence level is I don't think it went up because, I mean, I can't get over the fact that we know Ben Simmons. Like, Ben Simmons, he can be aggressive, but the thing is, it's almost like he doesn't want to. And then as far as, you know, scoring, when we get to Brooklyn, we're not going to be able to just be a collective defensive team. We're going to need some firepower. As I think his name was Devin. He was saying that, too, that when we get to Brooklyn, Ben Simmons just can't – he can't be standing around on the offensive set. We're going to need him to get, get some buckets.
Yep.
We're going to need him to get some buckets against because, you know, no matter how good our team is defensively –
they coming at you. Yeah, they coming.
We're not going to stop Kyrie, KD, and Harden in the same game.
I mean, Will, it might be the greatest offense in NBA history.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
And that includes the Warriors of a couple years ago.
This is better than that.
And that was amazing.
Yes.
Yeah, but shoot, imagine if we had been, you know, go out there and take some of that scoring pressure off of Embiid. Like, imagine Ben and Joel scoring like 20, 30 points a pop in the game, and then also getting what they do defensively. Like, come on, man. If they could do that, we win in the chip. If not, let's go get Lillard, man.
Well, I'm with you. Like, I hear you.
Hold on, Will. See, Will, now this is what happens, Will, and then Joe and I have to sit here and take these phone calls from people who saying we're hating on Ben. You're talking about going to get Dame Lillard.
Now, Will's speaking truth.
Man, listen, I say this. If we don't win the chip this year, Ben got to go. I don't care.
Yeah.
He got to go.
I mean, that.
Well, we appreciate it. Listen, he said it.
Yeah, we didn't say it. I'm with you.
I'm not saying the guy's wrong. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop in. Sixers confidence level. Did it grow after last night, or did it stay the same? Mine's the same. Ike's has grown here. We'll continue taking your Sixers calls. Are you finally ready to admit that Embiid is the most talented Sixer ever? I am. And we'll get into the Phillies because, of course, they blew another one last night to the Braves. Nola, not good enough. Phillies lose last night. And we're going to give you a shot to win $1,000. The cash contest is back. We'll give you that chance next right here on Mark Cerie, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.